Alright, so we're doing Kung Fu Panda today in our Faith Out Film series. So we're going to start with some Kung Fu jokes. What do you call a pig in Kung Fu class? Pork chop. Which vegetable knows Kung Fu? Broccoli. What's the difference between an open box of stinky cheese and a Kung Fu master? One is Loose Brie and the other is Bruce Lee. And I advise you not to mess with me. I know karate, kung fu, judo, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, and 28 other dangerous words. So in our Faith on Film today, we're talking about Kung Fu Panda. And in the film, Po is a panda who works at his father's noodle stand and eventually becomes a kung fu warrior. He's an overweight panda bear. He's never trained in the arts of kung fu, but is designated as the Dragon Warrior. As the Dragon Warrior, he has to fight the Snow Leopard Tai Lung to defend the sacred Dragon Scroll. He's woefully outtrained and outskilled, but by focusing on what he does best and fighting in a way that is unique to him, he's able to win the battle. Sometimes when we face tough situations, it's tempting for us to copy someone else's response or to use someone else's response and to make it our own and try to copy it. And if Po had done that in this case and tried to fight the way that everyone else was fighting, he would have lost the battle. Instead, he had to use his unique gifting and abilities in order to fight the battle. And we need to do the same thing when we come across different circumstances in our lives. Instead of trying to copy how someone else may have done it or may do it, we need to live into our uniqueness as children of God. I want to tell you a very familiar story today, focusing on the uniqueness that can be found in our story's hero. It was at a time in Israel's history when they were battling against the Philistines. The Philistines were on one hill, Israelites were on the other hill, and there was a valley in between them. The Philistine champion would come out every morning and every evening and taunt the Israelites because they were afraid to fight him. And of course, that Philistine champion is Goliath. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and bronze mail, which weighed 125 pounds. He had a bronze leg armor and a bronze javelin, and his spear had an iron spearhead on it that weighed 15 pounds by itself. He had an armor bearer who would walk ahead of him carrying his shield, and he would taunt the Israelites, and he taunted them for 40 days, morning and evening. And this is what he would say to them. Why are you all coming out to fight? I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. The Philistines were willing to entrust the entire battle into this one man's large hands. Yet no one from Israel would come forward. In fact, Scripture tells us that King Saul and the Israelites were, quote, terrified and deeply shaken. Meanwhile, away from the battle, there was a man named Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons, 3 of which were already in Saul's army. David was Jesse's youngest son, and he was a shepherd. He would often go back and forth between the battlefield and the farm to bring supplies and messages back and forth. One day, Jesse sent David with some bread to give to his brothers and their captain. He found his brothers camped out with the other members of the army on the hill facing the Philistine camp. He went out to find his brothers and deliver the supplies, and while he was there, Goliath came out and issued his taunt. When the Israelites saw Goliath, they ran away in fear. David overheard the men saying, "Man, the guy who kills Goliath is going to be rewarded by Saul. He's going to be given the king's daughter in marriage, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes." David questioned the men about this. Is this really what Saul has said? And he said, he asked, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel?" Notice the way he's framing the question. He's not saying, "How am I going to beat him?" He's saying, "This man is defying Israel. He is going against our nation and against our God. Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" You see how he's framing the question with faith? He's already assuming the victory because he would be fighting the victory based on God's power and through his faith. One of David's brothers overheard him asking the soldiers, and he became very angry with him. He told him to go back home and take care of the sheep like he was supposed to. But David did not quit asking. And eventually word came to Saul that David was asking, and so he summoned him. And he said to him, "Why are you asking about this?" When David saw King Saul, he told him not to worry because he would go fight Goliath. King Saul said, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." David was told that he couldn't do it. He was told that he was too young. He was told that he didn't have enough training. He told them that he was just out of his league in this case. He was dismissed. But instead of walking away and accepting the defeat, David defended himself. He knew that with his faith and God's help, he could defeat Goliath. And he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He told King Saul about all the times that he, as a shepherd, protected his flock, and that how he had killed lions and bears with his bare hands and a club, protecting his flock. He told the king that God would do the same thing for him as he's done to these lions and bears with Goliath, and that he would be able to kill Goliath. David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." David had faith that God was going to rescue him from the battle against this Philistine. Saul finally consented to the plan and told David to go and fight Goliath. Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail, and David strapped on the armor, and Saul was probably much bigger than David, so you can imagine him just swimming in this armor. And David looks at him and says, "I can't wear this. I'm not used to this. This is not what I wore." So he takes it off, and he gets 5 stones from the stream and puts them in the shepherd's bag. He takes his shepherd's staff with him, and he gets set to go. The king probably thought that he was off his rocker. Had no idea what he was doing, just walking into his death. I imagine the other soldiers probably thought the same thing. Like, why is the king letting this little boy go out and fight? He's going to be destroyed. But David took his sling, he took his shepherd's staff, he took his stones, and he walked out to meet Goliath. And it says that Goliath walked out to meet David and sneered in contempt at the boy. He says Goliath was furious, and he says, "Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the name of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. Goliath severely overestimated his own position and underestimated the faith and the power that David had through the Lord. And David's reply to Goliath is important for us to hear. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." You see how he's already framing the argument that this is God's battle. I'm just being used by God here. He has faith in God's protection and God's power over Goliath. Goliath began to move toward David to attack, and David quickly ran to meet him. He reached into his bag, took a stone, and hurled it with a sling, and we know it hit Goliath in the forehead and sunk into his forehead. And Goliath stumbled and fell face first on the ground. Then David runs over, picks up Goliath's massive sword, takes it from its sheath, and cuts off his head. When the Philistines saw that Goliath was dead, they turned and ran. And the men of Israel gave a great shout of triumph and chased after the Philistines. They plundered the Philistine camp and celebrated a great victory that day for the Lord. David brought Goliath's head to Saul, and Saul was thankful for David and rewarded David. None of them believed that David could do this. None of them had the faith of David in the Lord. And it really shows this lack of faith that they had in God as they were serving him and supposed to be fighting for him. None of them believed that God was powerful enough to defeat that giant. But then enter the shepherd boy with no training, with no skill set other than what he had done as a shepherd, underestimated, outwitted, yet with faith he was able to defeat Goliath. That shepherd boy had something that no one else had on that battlefield, and that was faith. That was his unique ability. That was his secret sauce, if you will, when you think of it in those terms. David's ability to defeat Goliath in that day was based solely on his faith in God that he would be given the victory. And that's what made David unique at the time. He believed when no one else would do it, and he acted on that belief. Each of us is a unique person, and we each have unique skill sets and unique personalities that God can use for his glory. That's your secret sauce. And the secret sauce is something that you have that no one else has. It's what makes you unique. So what is your secret sauce? Every successful company has a secret sauce, a way of doing things or making a product or making an impact on an industry that is unique to them. Walmart's secret sauce is low prices. The company was founded on the principle of helping people save money so that they could live better. And they still use that slogan today, save money, live better. That was from their founding. That's their secret sauce, low prices. Nike focuses on bringing the best possible equipment to athletes. They spend money on research, trying to decide how to make their equipment work the best for each of their athletes. Google's secret sauce is their algorithms. Through their algorithms, they're able to help us sort through reams and reams of data and bring us the search results that we need that are relevant to what we're looking for. They're so good at it, they've even become a verb now. If you want to know what something is, what do you say? You say, let's Google it. That's how good they are with their secret sauce. New businesses are popping up all over the place with their own secret sauces. In Japan and Taiwan, cat cafes are all the rage. In these, you come to the cafe, order your food, order your drink, and then you can mingle with the resident cats. Believe it or not, they're making their way into North America as well, where you can go to these cat cafes, eat your food, drink your drinks, and play with their cats. In Switzerland, farmers are renting cows. They're renting cows to urbanites and city dwellers, and then they get a discounted price on the milk and cheese that comes from their cow. And in exchange for the rent, they also have to go work on the farm for part of the time to help pay for the cow that they are renting. Changeroo is a company that resells high-quality used children's clothes. You send them your clothes, then you buy their used clothes back and forth, and it's an online marketplace. There are cookie dough cafes springing up all across the nation with edible cookie dough. So if anyone's interested in opening one in Hayes, I will be your first customer. Gourmet popcorn stores are popping up all over. We have Popped here in Hayes. Every successful business has to have a secret sauce, something that makes them different from the rest. And when it comes to your life, you are the secret sauce. You are unique. You are loved. You are cared for. You are created as a one-of-a-kind individual. How cool is it that the same God who created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too? God has given you exactly what you need to be successful in your life, which means discerning and following God's plan for your life. And every single one of us has a unique place in this world. And we each have a unique voice that is essential to find and to use for God's glory. The biggest question a lot of people ask is, well, what makes me special? What's my secret sauce? And the answer is, first of all, it's not just in what you do. The more important question is, who are you? What is your character? Your character is much more important than any talent or gift that you have. After all, if you have a bad character, who's really going to care what you do if your character is poor? In some cases, I guess you could argue that it doesn't matter, but in most cases, you want someone with good character making the decisions and making the choices that are going to affect you. This gets played out all the time, and we're in an election cycle. And the political ads, what do? They attack someone's character. A lot of times, the ads aren't about the issues. They're just trying to get you to distrust someone. Because we vote for people we trust. If you trust someone, you're more likely to agree with them and support their decisions. That's why companies spend millions of dollars hiring spokespersons who are celebrities. Because if you like an athlete, you like a sports star, you like an actor, and you trust them, then you're going to trust that they're supporting a brand that you should also support. So if they say Nike is the way to go, you're going to go Nike. If you say Under Armour is the way to go, you'll go Under Armour. If they say Crest toothpaste is the way to go, you're going to go Crest toothpaste because you trust them. You trust their character. The same thing happens the other way, though. If you don't support a person's character, if you don't trust them, sometimes we go just instinctively opposite whatever they say. If someone says left and you don't trust their character, you instinctively go right. And you see that in politics all the time as well. Republicans come up with an idea, maybe good, maybe bad, but it doesn't matter because the Democrats see it. Oh, it's a Republican idea, must be bad. And the same thing happens the other way. Democrats come up with an idea. Oh, it's a Democratic idea. Republicans, what do? They got to be against it. There's no more working together, and that's how we get into these gridlocks in Washington, D.C. and in Topeka. Because people used to value the ability to work across the aisle and make compromises. But now, everybody's making sure that they're happy with their base, that their base is happy. And so that means being extreme in some cases and not being willing to work with other people. The point is that if you question a person's character, you're going to question their actions. And your character is the starting point. And your character is 100% in your control. Heraclitus said, "The content of your character is your choice. Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is who you become." You have control about who you are. You can choose to be a good person, you can choose to be a truthful person, and you can choose to value others. Or you can choose to value yourself, you can choose to value money, and you can choose to value power. It's all your choice. And while character is what matters, what reveals your character are your choices. If you want to know a person's character, you don't look at their words, do you? You look at their actions. That's the biggest indicator of someone's character. Does the person walk the walk or just talk the talk? And you have to really make this personal. Do you really walk the walk or do you just talk the talk? Do you make decisions on a daily basis based on your character and the way that you want to be and the way that you feel you should be? Or do you make decisions based on what's easiest in the moment? Or what maybe benefits you in the moment? Your character matters. Your actions matter, and you matter. So where do you have gifts and talents? What's your secret sauce? What unique calling has God placed on your life? What are the things that you can do that no one else can do? For example, if you have children, you are in the unique spot of being the only mother or father for that child. Now, certainly other people can come in and fill the gaps, but you have a unique responsibility and responsibility to be there for that child as the mother or the father or the grandmother or the grandfather. You have that unique spot. No one else can completely fill that void. What other unique things has God called you to do or called you to be? What is your secret sauce? What talents or abilities do you have that God wants you to use for His glory? Sometimes this is where people get lost. Well, I don't know. I don't have any talents or abilities. But really, if you think about it, you do. And so I'm going to give you some homework this week. Your homework this week is to ask someone you trust and love what your talents and abilities are. Ask them, what do you see in me? What talents or abilities do you see specifically in me? And then when you have that list, because it's a lot easier for other people to see than you, when you have that list, then go over it and say, okay, how can I use these talents and abilities and personality traits for God's glory? Because that's where you're going to find your secret sauce. That's going to be where you find fulfillment, when you're doing the things that God has created you to do. And so this week, ask someone to help you discern what your gifts and your talents are, so that you can then take that information, use it, and develop a plan to serve God with your whole heart, with your whole being, with your whole body and soul. Because that is ultimately where you're going to find the most joy and the most love in your life, when you are fulfilling God's plan for your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.